60 years of family culture. Join the Robson Civil Projects team for the opportunity of a lifetime.
7-Eleven. Hot food, hot and ready near you.
Your rugby league coverage on SEN starts now. Welcome to NRL Crunch Time.
Yeah, hi everybody. Welcome to CommBank Stadium live on this soggy Saturday afternoon crunch time. Brought to you by 7-Eleven. You're never far away from 7-Eleven's classic slow-cooked Australian beef pie or traditional veggie pasty. Call 1300 01 1170 to join us. 0457 736 736 is the text line, or you can tweet us at 1170 SEN. I'm Matt White. Welcome to our listeners across the network, including 1170 SEN in Sydney, 1620 SEN on the Goldie, and for the very first time, welcome to our listeners on 693 SENQ in Queensland. This is Crunch Time. You can also download the SEN app and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Alongside me today here at CommBank, James Magnuson, fresh off a full week of breakfast radio, and from the Sydney Morning Herald, Adrian Prezenko joining us. So, Adrian, I think we need to make sure that this guy stays awake for the next couple of hours, but he's ready to rumble. He's got his bulldog scarf on, and you are good to go, Maggie.
Yeah, living the dream, Matty. I was just waiting for one of these NRL crunch times to line up with the Bulldogs game, and I am feeling very bullish about this game today. Excuse the pun. I think the Sharks are dining out on some early season success, and I'm backing the Bulldogs in for a win.
He's backing them in. Well, at the moment, the weather, I mean, we all know what kind of weather's been around and what's coming for the next couple of days right up and down the East Coast. Mm. And it was pouring on the way out here when I was driving out here. And Now it's stopped. It's like everything's just pressed pause.
8.5 point start, Maggie. You saw that. You thought it was very tempting indeed, didn't you?
Oh, I love it. 8.5 points. A little bit disrespectful. Yeah, in wet conditions. I want our text line today to get absolutely blown up by Bulldogs fans. I want every one of our listeners that's a Bulldogs fan to text in today and tell me how confident are you and how much do you think we'll win by today against the Sharks?
We see a new player for the Bulldogs. I think he's the 830th first grade Canterbury Bankstown Bulldog in Declan Casey. Tell us a bit about the man who'll be wearing number 19, named in the centres, but more than likely playing on the wing.
Yeah, named in the centres, but he'll play in the wing. They'll have Jacob Kiraz in the centres. They've been trying to wool pull us for about a month now, haven't they, Adrian? Naming Kiraz on the wing.
We've fallen for it every time as well.
Yeah, he'll play in the wing. He's quick. He put a massive shot on Kalen Ponga in the trial games earlier this year. He won't let the team down. A similar sort of style to a Josh Adokar. I'm looking forward to his debut.
And Adrian, the other big out for the Bulldogs is their coach, their interim coach, no Mick Potter because of COVID protocols.
It's a real shame as well because they've been building something under him. They've got a bit of momentum. They're going for their third straight win. And listening to the opposing coach, Craig Fitzgibbon, in his press conference yesterday, he can certainly empathise having twice been struck out with COVID. So a bit of a shame. We've got a feeling for the fill-in. I think we've got Craig Sandercock and David Ferner holding the chair for the guy holding the chair.
We're Reece Walsh, Mick Potter and Andrew Voss all at some house party or something this week that we don't know about. They're all down with COVID. There was some sort of random house party going on. Vossy's given them all COVID and then he's done the runner for morning breakfast show.
Now, how on earth did you manage to, I mean, this was your life for a long time, getting up early and going to work early, essentially. And that's what you've been doing last week. We shared the Brekkie Show Monday, Tuesday.
Yep.
Had a lot of fun. And then you had Jimmy Smith for the rest of the week. And then you walk straight in and start talking about going to see Top Gun.
Yeah.
So you've done a week's Brekkie radio, and you've still managed to punch out a movie last night.
Yeah, burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah, I had date night last night, so, you got to keep the flame alive. we went and saw Top Gun. For anybody out there that hasn't seen Top Gun, it is an absolute masterpiece. You know, with movies these days, guys, they've started getting, really gritty, sometimes a bit depressing. They're almost too real life. I want to go and just see glitz and glamour. There was so much fake tan and baby oil in this movie. And you know what? I loved it.
Right.
I loved it. It was just a good old classic Hollywood feel-good movie. Mm. I left the cinema with a massive smile on my face.
Yep.
And I'll go out there on a limb and say it's probably the best movie I've seen in the past 3-4 years.
And this is coming from someone who didn't watch the original as well.
Yeah, so I was behind the eight ball from the start, and I watched it leading into the leading into the movie just to make sure I had a little bit of a background. And I thought this one knocked it out of the park, way better than the original.
So you did some Top Gun research before you went and saw the new Top Gun.
Yeah, so I was wondering...
You're a freak.
Yeah. I was wondering how they made it look so realistic in the planes.
Yeah.
So they've got their faces are sort of stuck back when they're doing the stunts and all that kind of thing in the movie. So what they did was Tom Cruise actually flew in one of these fighter jets. He was in the cockpit and they filmed him actually copying those G-forces to make it look realistic in the movie. It's unbelievable.
And speaking of faces being pulled tight, Top Gun, the old Tom Cruise is looking pretty good as well. There was plenty of shots of him with his shirt off, and it was like Magnussen in his prime. It was missile-style action.
That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. Like, that's what I used to look like, if you remember back in the day. But that shows then... that they must have... So did Tom... I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it yet, Adrian.
Yeah, I have seen it. I'd give that 4 choc tops as well. It was outstanding.
Oh, 4 out of 5 choc tops.
Yep.
So does Tom Cruise's face actually get distorted when he's got the G-forces on there?
Yeah,
or has the Botox kicked in? Because that's a very fine balance for something.
So what are G-forces required?
Well, I was discussing it with my girlfriend after the movie. I said, geez, Tom Cruise looks unbelievable at 60 years of age. I said, do you reckon he's had any work done? She said, yeah, he would have had a little bit of work done. I said, well, whatever Tom Cruise has done is perfect. Whatever Val Kilmer's done is on the other end of the scale. He's had the tox, but it's blown his head up to twice the size.
Right.
I know he's had some health problems as well. But I came prepared for the show today with a question for you two.
Right.
If you were a pilot in the Navy Air Force, what would your call sign be? Obviously, I'm going to run with missile.
Yes.
Pre-made. So you're just going to go like...
Pre-made. Yeah. I've come with one already. What's your call sign? So we've got Goose, Rooster, Maverick. A couple of the ones in this one, there was Hangman.
Wow.
What would you... Yeah, I'll let you have the next break.
We're going to have to think about it because that's... when you think about it, it's a very unfair question because yours is pre-made.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Adrian and myself don't walk around with a title like
this. Yeah.
Question without notice, yeah.
Were you... doing the Channel 10 commentary back 2011, 2010-ish when I got given the nickname?
No, that was Anthony Hudson.
Anthony Hudson.
Who christened you the missile?
Well, it was Hutto because I was listening to you and Jimmy talk about it.
Was it him that came up with it, though?
I'm not sure because in that call that you played, Hutto referenced the man they call the missile.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
I wasn't sure if he'd given me that nickname earlier in the week or if it was somebody else.
I'm disappointed you didn't give it to yourself like you just did a few moments ago.
Well, before that, Maddie might remember, they were trying to get the nickname the Anchorman to stick.
Yes.
People have been saying the Anchorman, like a Ron Burgundy. It was Ron at the time when Ron Burgundy Anchorman had just come out.
Wow.
And I was the anchor leg of the relay.
Wow.
And always delivered.
Yeah, and they're trying to say Anchorman. And then somebody, it must have been at Channel 10,
because
you guys were doing the call. Somebody came out with missile and it stuck.
What was your initial reaction when you heard that? Did you think, that's
me.
That's not bad.
Well, see, I didn't really catch on to it until I came back to Australia. So I was over in Shanghai and there wasn't a heap of media over in Shanghai. And I got back to Australia, got to the airport and there were cameras everywhere and reporters. I was like, well, things have changed a little bit here. And everyone was saying, missile, missile, missile. And I was like, whoa, this is... I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
There could be worse nicknames.
I've just thought of something, though. If you are going to become an aviator and you are out there in the war zone and you use the term missile as your call sign, you're in a bit of strife. You're either dropping them or they're dropping them on you.
Or if I'm flying and someone's trying to use my call sign, they're going, missile, missile. I'm going, where?
Hey, I tell you who could have a bit of a target on his back right now. It's got to be Justin Holbrook, hasn't it? I mean, that was a very, very insipid performance against the Knights. 38 points to 12 was the final score. 22-0, I think it was, at halftime. It could have been absolutely anything, the scoreboard. So I think on reflection, when you go back and see that final score, you think, they were there or thereabouts. They were nowhere near it, were they?
No, and if they'd brought their goal-kicking shoes as well, it would have been much worse. And listening to Justin Holbrook afterwards, it was a little bit reminiscent of Trent Barrett in the last couple of games where he didn't know that things were going wrong. He didn't know how to fix it. Mm. And it just seemed this vicious cycle. And I think that's where Justin Holbrook's at now. And this is a team that, if we take our minds back just over 12 months ago, they were playing semi-final football and were very unlucky to be edged out by the Roosters in their first semi. And they look like morals for the wooden spoon the way they're going at the moment.
As far as trying to keep your job, I sensed exactly the same thing, Adrian, when Trent Barrett was saying it week after week. And then it got to the point where he said, I've got no answers. And you go, hang on a second. You've got to have answers. And you've got to work out a way to get answers if you can't find them. And when I heard Justin Holbrook say that after last night, I thought, that's not going to do yourself any favours to try and keep the job.
Well, only a few weeks ago, I did a feature about the cutthroat nature of the coaching industry. And one of the people that I spoke to was Mal Meninga. And he was saying that the clubs too often pull the trigger and there's got to be some responsibility from everyone within the organisation and not just scapegoating the coach. And now Mal Meninga's in a position where he's got a role with the Titans and has had for some time. And he's going to have to make a decision on Justin Holbrook and whether or not he's the right guy going forward.
If you're Justin Holbrook, would you want to stay there and just ruin your coaching legacy? Like, what's he got to gain? We talked about what are some of the reasons for the performance last night. So Jared Wallace, starting front rower, runs for 28 metres.
Yeah.
Three runs he had in the entire game. Sam McIntyre, starting second rower, runs for 9 metres. One run in the entire game. Just there's individuals in the team who aren't pulling their weight. And you look at guys like Tino and you go, you poor bugger. Mm. We know how good he is, but he's just carrying that team on his shoulders.
That side was making 2022 Anthony Milford look like 2014 Anthony Milford.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. So after we got back from the movies, I looked at the highlights and I was watching, you know, the KO minis.
She had a busy night.
Yeah, I was up till about 1 a.m. trying to do my research before the show. And I said, oh, Holbrook's got to go. And my girlfriend said, oh, you never really hear about Holbrook. Like, why don't we hear about him on the news? And I said, look, it's because they're on the Gold Coast. And honestly, people here don't really care. And I thought, if people don't care about the Gold Coast Titans and we don't talk about them, how invested are we in having a team on the Gold Coast? Like, if that's the real reason why nobody really talks about the Titans and Holbrook, it's similar
then
in the AFL, right?
Why are they there? That's what you're saying.
Why are they there? Mm. If he was at a Sydney club, he would have been gone a month ago. But I even haven't really thought about it until now because I just don't care about the Titans.
You mentioned Jared Wallace, so sent off late in the game. Grade 2 dangerous throw, so he's going to be gone for 2 weeks if he pleads an early guilty plea there, or 3 weeks if he contests and is unsuccessful. So they'll be missing him for the next couple of weeks. They're now on a 6-game losing streak.
The Titans will be hoping he gets 3 weeks just quietly.
They've got the bye next week, and then, I mean, regardless of who they're going to run up against, it's going to be the tough run home. But isn't it fascinating and how, like, this time, what, a month or so ago, the Bulldogs were anchored to the bottom. They made their choice and brought Mick Potter in, and things have definitely, clearly improved. Now, they're climbing up. So, if you're the Titans, are you looking at that saying, well, the Bulldogs made a move on Barrett, they brought in somebody like Mick Potter, it got us off the bottom of the ladder, at least, and now we're starting to turn things around. Do you reckon the Titans look at this similar kind of scenario, or do they try and see out the season with Holbrook?
Well, if they sack Holbrook, and I'm a prospective Titans coach long term, is there anything to gain by coming in now? Like you could potentially give it to someone who's already there, like a Jim Dimmick, and give him a go, and then you can suck it and see and say, well, if he has some success, he can stay on in the role. But there are underlying issues there. I mean, they're paying in excess of $1 million for David Fifita, which history would suggest that was not a prudent call. Wow. They had Jamal Fogarty in there as halfback, got rid of him, and are now paying for Kieran Foran in his mid-30s.
It's madness, isn't it?
It's, what is going on up there?
I look at the Titans and go, okay, where did things go wrong for the Titans in the past 3-4 years? Well, they put all their eggs
Jared
in
Hayne.
One basket with they put all their eggs in one basket with a young halfback called Ashley Taylor and said, this is our man, let's build our team around this guy, and he's going to take us to the promised land. Didn't work out. So Ash Taylor leaves and they go, all right, we've got an experienced halfback in Jamal Fogarty. We're trucking along all right. Okay, what do we do? Let's bring in Toby Sexton, put all our eggs in one basket with this young halfback and go again. Like, seriously, that's the definition of madness. They haven't learned their lesson.
I was at a function not long ago, and I was sitting next to Graham Annesley, and it was an interesting chat. I said, of all the jobs you've had, Graham, which one was the worst? And I said, you've been a referee, a referee's boss, you've been boss of the Titans, you're the, you know, you're now in head office, you've been a politician. And we were going back to his time at the Titans. I said, Jared Hayne, if you had your time again, do you do it? Would you do it? And he said, yes. And I look at that, and I think that's almost the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
I reckon, because if you remember, Neil Henry had that team humming, and then he came into the squad, and for all he won a couple of games for them single-handedly, but for everything that he brought on the field, he brought a circus off the field, he divided the playing group, and it got to a point where Neil Henry said, it's either me or him, one of us has got to go, and they said, no dramas, there's the door. They decided to keep Jared Hayne. In the end, they were both gone not long afterwards, and that was the beginning of the descent.
Where's Neil Henry now?
No, he's doing a bit of work. He's trying to help start up a coaches association, of which Mal Meninga, ironically, is the chair of.
Yeah.
So they're looking to get some funding and sponsorship and get that going, and it's quite the time to do it, given we've had three sackings already, and I dare say by the end of the year there'll be at least one or two more.
Well, Nathan Brown will be putting his hand up for that kind of role, because that's what he spoke about when he left the Warriors there, wanting to try and help keep coaches in the job, because it's a brutal game. Last night, BlueBet Stadium, Panthers 26 over the Roosters 18. So Penrith led 14-6 at halftime, and the Roosters had a crack last night. So on that side of the ledger, Trent Robinson was happy. But let's have a listen to Trent Robinson after the game, because he was not happy with the referee.
Yeah, that's just a horrible decision. You know, that we shouldn't let a try in on the end of it. That's not the... But, I mean, there were so many poor decisions tonight. We had same referee last game, and it was like 30-odd offsides, you know, and it was a 3-1 penalty count. And it was like, well, this is normal. And then, you know, every opportunity, it was, you know, Sammy Verrill's one, give them opportunities. And then the offsides on the try line, it was just keep giving them opportunity. That was the field position. You know, the offsides on both sides, you know, you can call Yo, you can call Cleary constantly, but if you don't penalise, then... You know, you end up with 28% possession. You know, it wasn't a good enough performance tonight. You know, the Nat Butcher one at the end there, you know, they're big decisions that, you know, you can't get wrong. And it wasn't good enough.
So they're 10th place now, the Roosters. It's the first time since 2016 they've lost four straight games. And
wow.
Robinson doesn't mind speaking out if he doesn't think that the referee's going his way. What did you make of those comments?
I think he sailed close to the wind in terms of a fine, but probably just pulled up short. I can understand his frustration, but it's that sort of losing, bleeding coach thing, isn't it? Like, it's just, yeah. It's not effective. Like if you've got a complaint, it's just seems to sink in more when you've actually had a win. Or, you know, I know a couple of things went against him, but his team shouldn't be in this position. I, like many people, tipped them to run first, to win the whole thing, and they're now in danger of missing out on the eight altogether.
Mm. I thought they looked good last night, though. Bradley back makes a huge difference to that team. And the name that gets everyone upset when you say it, Matt Lodge, will make a big difference to that squad. Mm. They miss a bit up front. They haven't had Hargraves there. If they bring in Hargraves and Matt Lodge at the same time, that's quite a different looking forward pack, quite an intimidating forward pack in comparison to what it's been in recent weeks.
And what about Joey Manu? He is a guy who could be the top three player in three positions. So the previous week, he runs for 400 metres at fullback in a test match against Tonga. He's the best centre in the world. And then he plays 5/8, and he's almost the best player on the field last night.
Where are we at with pronunciations, by the way? Because I heard last night Joseph Suaalii's name pronounced Joseph Suaalii.
Oh, God.
I heard that for the first time as well. Yeah.
James Bracey did it in the Channel 9 cross.
Yeah.
In the
well,
news.
He's pretty well researched.
No,
he'd
Brace,
be on the ball.
Bracey would be all over it.
Yeah.
So I went, hang on a second, are we at Suaalii now?
Same as, I guess, Papali'i.
Papali'i.
Is Suaalii's background Samoan, like Papali'i?
Well Papali'i's got the the little comma.
Yeah,
what do you call it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, so he is eligible for Samoa.
Samoa could have a good squad,
so they couldn't
could,
they? Oh, wow. They could be. You, yeah. If you put him in a, you know, three or four Panthers into that side, that is some team.
So if here's one for the Australian squad. If Tupu declares for Tonga, if To'o declares for Samoa, Suaalii could come into that Australian squad. If they pick a 30-man squad...
He's 18 years old. Isn't it amazing? Like he, and he wouldn't look out of place either.
You could have a wing combination. I mean, the Queensland wingers haven't been bad. I'd probably potentially have Valentine Holmes on one wing and Addo Carr on another wing, but... can you pick Cobbo based off his form in Origin? I'm not sure. I think Suaalii could come into that Australian squad.
Isn't it scary that like his best position is fullback and he'll eventually really? End up there? That the Roosters have got Tedesco, Suaalii, and Manu that would all be starting fullbacks in just about every other side.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so if there is the apostrophe there, but I don't think there is an apostrophe on Suaalii.
We're going to find that.
Okay, just have a look while I'm doing the research, because we've got all sorts of stuff going on. There isn't. But if there is, then there should be a pause in the pronunciation.
There isn't, so, but there's a double I.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to text James Bracey. I'll text Brace and see if I can get to the bottom of it, because it was the first time I heard it last night. It's 21 minutes after 12 right here on the SEN Network. You're listening to Crunch Time, thanks to 7-Eleven. After the break, we'll look back at Friday night footy. What is going on at the back end of the games for the Manly Seagulls? 1300 01 1170 if you'd like to join us on the phone, or you can text 0457 736 736. Maybe, because I'm stuck, I can't come up with a name. I can't. I can picture myself in a fighter jet, but I can't picture myself radioing ahead with a funky name outside of Whitey.
Have you ever been in a fighter jet?
Not a fighter jet. I've done the roulettes. I've done the aerial, the acrobatics.
Was that like the Red Bull fighter planes?
Yeah, well, the roulettes are the acrobatic
guys that go around.
We did that over the Gold Coast.
I've done a hot lap around Bathurst and at Homebush, and that's enough G-forces for me. I don't want to get into a cockpit.
You would have done that, wouldn't you, Manny?
Yeah. So we did the roulettes above the Gold Coast ahead of the Indy cars one year, and there was an Indy car driver. So there's six planes.
Yeah.
And I was in the lead plane, and there was one of the drivers, Roberto Moreno, was in one of the other planes behind us. And they did the first barrel roll, right? We're out over the water, and they did the first barrel roll, those two planes on the edges. He said, and this is an IndyCar driver who's used to G-forces, he said, "I'm out. Let's go back." And I thought, holy crap, if he's saying that, we haven't started yet. We haven't even started.
How did you find it?
I found it awesome. Because I couldn't stop laughing. And I think that helped me, because they said to me, just try and get your abs going as much as you can.
Yeah.
And I could not stop laughing how much fun it was. Wow. And I reckon that's what helped me. So I got one up on on an international race car driver.
I was in that. I was doing a hot lap here at Homebush with Grant Denyer not long after he had his accident. So I'm not sure which one of us was more nervous.
Yeah.
as somebody who went round to Denyer's place after that accident and saw the situation he was in, God knows how you got out and the tablets that he had to take to get through the day. We will take a break. Come back and join us on the other side.
There's the little kick. Does it get through? Does it get through? Here goes Kohler.
Away goes the young man.
Hughes has given up on the chase. There goes Kohler. The fans knew it straight away. Tolatau Kohler gets across. No one catches him. It's a spiraler. It'll come down. Yeah. Oh, he's let it bounce. Pappenhausen let it bounce. Now it comes back into the hands of the Manly player, and he scored it. Christian Tupiloto has picked up the bouncing ball and scored the try. That's horrible from Ryan Pappenhausen. They go to Garrick. Garrick, they got the extra number. May not need the extra number. That is great work there from Morgan Harper. Just muscled his way over the line. Had the man outside him, didn't need him. He's played well tonight. Poked his nose through a couple of times. And now the scoreline is 22 points to 6. Lokowatu. Lokowatu!
What a powerhouse.
Skipped through a tackle, skipped through another one, and then used his power to go past Pappenhausen. What a talent this young man is. Got across and scored. You're kidding me. You're kidding me, Spud. Wow. I don't think they're going to do it, but they've got themselves another try. 36-26. Now Pappenhausen. Wow. He's going to get away. They're going to score it. There'll be 14 seconds left. So he wants to stop the clock ASAP. Points to the spot. 7 seconds remaining. That is a crazy game of footy. 36 points to 30 is the final scoreline. But that was all over the shop.
Unbelievable. The Storm scored in the 74th, 77th, 78th and 79th minute of that game at Four Pines Park. You're listening to Crunch Time, brought to you by 7-Eleven. You are never far away from 7-Eleven's classic slow-cooked Aussie beef pie or traditional veggie pasty. Oh.
Go. The beef pie.
It's right on the
lunchtime.
Like yes. It's 12:30, folks. We're right in that zone.
leave your veggie pasty at the door.
Yes.
But Matt, I'll have the meat pie, thank you.
Matt White, James Magnusson, Adrian Prezenko with you. The Rooster Man says Adrian could be Ads Man, and Matty, you could be Motorhead.
That's a pretty good one.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I'm not disappointed with that either.
Are you okay with Ads Man?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So Ads Man, Motorhead, and the missile.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's someone would be hitting the eject button very quickly.
Would you be the missile or just a missile?
Just missile.
Just missile. Yes. Yeah. Word economy, that's the way to do it. What on earth is happening to Manly at the back end of games? They did it against the Cowboys and it went pear-shaped and they ended up losing the match. They win this one by 6 points, but there's a serious cliff that they fall off at the back end here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the scoreboard definitely flattered Melbourne, though, and Craig Bellamy, like, he absolutely tore strips off them. And how often do you hear a coach speak, about his players when they've only lost by 6 points? But yeah. Obviously that scoreline has papered over some cracks from their end. And that's all of a sudden Manly are one of those teams that are on the fringe, aren't they? Like, we've got the Roosters, Manly, even Souths potentially. They're not all going to make the eight, which is unfathomable at the start of the year.
What's Manly missing? So they've got good halfback, good 5'8".
There's a fullback called Trebojevic, which would be pretty handy.
But even when you look at that team, I mean, Garrick's more than pulled his weight, right?
Yep.
Are they a bit light on in the centres, a little bit light on in the front row? Could we see a deal? So we're talking off air, Matt Lodge to the Roosters. The same thing happened last year with Penguy Jr. to the Panthers. Teams that are looking to lock a spot in that top eight and be going strong into the semis are filling those last couple of roster spots with teams with players from the cellar dwellers, right? If you're the Eagles, are you starting to look at maybe we pick up a centre or a front rower from one of these bottom three, four teams leading into the semi-finals?
Well, you might be right. I mean, it might be that case there. Because when you say what are the Eagles lacking, and I can't really see too many big holes that they're lacking.
Yeah.
But maybe what they do need is an injection of new talent or something like that just to help them get towards the back end of the season. Because if they're falling away at the back end of games, then the run home to the semis, if they're going to be there, is going to be really, really hard.
Well, you look at their starting props of Kepi and Sipley. They're not striking fear into the opposition, are they?
Like, right.
They're good bench players. You've also got, Andrew Davies starting. There's a little bit of strike missing. You know, I noticed Tapau came off the bench, Paseka as well. But they don't have the 1-2 punch that some of the top teams have in that, like a Campbell Gillard or a Paulo or something like that.
So you reckon it's in their forward rotation that they're probably lacking a bit of strike?
A little bit of mongrel.
Matt Lodge would have been handy there.
Oh, it would have been very, very handy. Yeah. But they moved through 36 points to 30. And you mentioned that Craig Bellamy tore strips off his team afterwards. But no Cam Munster. Now, there's some stuff going around in Cameron Munster's world at the moment between him. So he signed with Melbourne Storm for next season, but everybody's talking about where he's going to end up in 2024. And now Wayne Bennett's thrown another curveball by saying we're trying to get him in 2023, has put the Storm's nose out of joint as well. Where's this going to land?
Well, that's interesting because the Storm are aggrieved and their CEO, Justin Rodsky, has basically for a second time made a formal complaint to the NRL and saying, like, they're soliciting our player. They're trying to induce him to break contract. And interestingly, in about half an hour, the Storm are actually going to have a media conference at which Cameron Munster will be there, where I dare say he will be saying, I'm here and I'm committed at least until the end of 2023.
There we go. Breaking news.
But then again, Wayne Bennett's a persuasive man and he needs a kill. He hasn't got a marquee signing. He's got a blank checkbook. So why
do you think the Storm would roll out, if they're going to roll out Cameron Munster today to say that I'm committed to the Storm, That to me doesn't serve any purpose aside from maybe smacking him down a little bit, and shows that there's probably a bit of drama between the Munster camp and the Melbourne camp. Surely you'd be only calling a press conference with Cameron Munster if he's signing an extended deal, if you've got something to announce.
Possibly. I mean, we'll know in about half an hour, but basically the alert says Amy Park, Cameron Munster, all in media conference, 1 o'clock.
Just Cameron Munster?
Cameron Munster.
That's why you listen to NRL Crunch Time.
Right.
We get the good mail.
That's right. Well, we'll try and get that live when it pops up as well, because I'm fascinated to I get the Melbourne can fire off to the Dolphins and say to the NRL, you need to stop this talk. I get that they're going to fight tooth and nail for the player, but he's under contract.
The interesting thing with Cameron Munster is what a different discussion it is to, say, 7 or 8 months ago. Because there was a point there where I think privately, they'll never concede it, that there was some at the Storm thinking, like, we need to get rid of him. Like, he wasn't playing well. He was getting into some trouble off the field. There was the whole white powder scandal. Mm.
The OMO. It wasn't
the OMO.
Wasn't
the OMO that was left on the table. And look, he's off. He's on the Daniel wagon. Off the source. He's playing fantastic football. You know, all of a sudden, people are falling over themselves, including Wayne Bennett, to get his signature.
Yeah, it just seems like a fit at the Dolphins. Mm. Queenslander going home, he'll be the marquee man. Imagine the third-party deals he'd get up there. He'd be the face of the club. I want to see it as a rugby league fan. I don't want to see the Dolphins come into the comp with no big names and just sort of kick the bucket for the first year or two. I want to see them come in with a bang, with a big-name player like Munster, and really make an impact on the competition.
I think it's potentially a disaster. He's in a really strong system. He's got Craig Bellamy coaching him. He's got really good players around him. They can pull him.
Munster could be a disaster out there.
I think potentially.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that he's playing his best football where he is, and if he goes up there, all of a sudden he's got the pressure of being the poster boy for a franchise that I think is going to struggle. You know, can he stay on the wagon up there? Will he have the same influences around him? I reckon if I'm him, and they get even close to the sort of money that they're offering him up north,
can
I stay put.
Can they get
put.
Close to the money?
Well, that's the thing. Everyone's got a tipping point.
What was their, you know how they said they came back with a better offer? So they started at $750 and the Dolphins were talking 1.3. So we're worlds apart.
Yep.
Do you know what they came back with?
Well, you would think they'd have some money given that Brandon Smith's leaving, like some of those Storm forwards are already going up there. So they definitely they have to make him a priority. But he's not going to get as much at the Storm, given all of the good players on their roster as he could up there.
Yeah.
Well, this press conference this afternoon has really got me thinking, because it's either going to be a really big story or it's going to be a whole heap of nothing.
Yeah.
Because if he comes out and says, I'm committed to the Storm, well, so, we'd have players doing that every single day.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a smackdown to Wayne. If, you know, because basically, hands off, you're not going to touch him. We're, you know, trying to keep him. We're confident that we'll do that. And there's no chance he's leaving us before the end of 2023.
Or does he come out and say, I'm re-signing after 23? I'm extending my deal.
I can't see that they would call a Storm press conference if it's a bad news story for the Storm.
That's right. That's
one of the funniest things to watch, I still find, is you watch NRL 360 and Munster's contract comes up and Brayton Astor, his manager, says, oh, well, we're not sure. We haven't heard anything from the Dolphins. I'm like, what?
Well, Brayton said the other night that he won't play against Manly. So he said that on the show.
The other thing that I'm hearing is that his shoulder issue, like that he could potentially carry it and get needled up through Origin.
Yeah.
But he is unlikely to get through the entire season. And when I say that, that's potentially the Kangaroos playing in the World Cup. So if he can get all the way through the season with it and put that shoulder surgery off, I reckon at some point he'll have to go under the knife, and I suspect that he may not be available for Mal Meninga for Australian selection.
Ooh, let us know your thoughts, 0457 736 736, or give us a call, 1300 01 1170. Crunch time, thanks to 7-Eleven. We're back after this, live at CommBank Stadium. I think I just saw a little bit of sun. No, it wasn't, sorry. Just really bright light. Back after this. It is crunch time. We're coming to you from CommBank Stadium ahead of the Bulldogs and the Sharks. So an interesting call later on this afternoon. I'll be joined by Andrew McCulloch from the Dragons, of course, and Timmy Manor will be joining us as well. But right now, Matt White, James Magnusson and Adrian Prezenko, thanks to 7-Eleven. So Motorhead Missile on Adsman. I think that's what we narrowed our call signs down to off the back of you seeing Top Gun. And Rooster Man on the text line says, I've got to see it at the cinema. Don't wait for it to be streamed. That's the call that everybody's been saying. It's a popcorn experience.
It's like absolutely. The special effects and the sound and all that stuff. You've got to see it on the big screen.
Yep. Okay, I'll take that tip. Let us know your thoughts around that. 0457 736 736. Adrian, your article during the week linking Sam Burgess and John Sutton with a return to the South Sydney fold when it comes to coaching. I think a lot of people can obviously see that working, but where does Wayne Bennett again play a part in this? Because Sam Burgess and Bennett are linked.
Well, he's torn, Sam Burgess, because obviously he's got a great connection with Wayne Bennett. But he's also got a great connection with South Sydney and Russell Crowe. As it stands, he's coaching the Russell Crowe-backed Arara Valley Axemen. So he's doing that for the time
Macquarie
being.
The Sharks would smash them just quietly.
We need a divisional playoff or something. Yeah. So he's got to make a decision. He's wanted by Souths. John Sutton and Sam Burgess have spoken previously about wanting to coach together at SG ball level. Sam has got aspirations to be an NRL head coach, and this comes at a time when we're seeing so many of these coaches being rotated and recycled and all this disruption at club level. So Souths reckon he can certainly add something, and Wayne will, as he always does, make a very compelling argument to go north.
I saw on some local news up there a few weeks back, Wayne Bennett actually came down to one of the Aurora Valley Axemen games. So Bennett was there and posing for photos and doing interviews with local journalists as well. So that connection's super strong. So
it's the most media attention the Aurora Valley Axemen have ever had. They're not really known as a strong team in the area.
He's so close with Russell Crowe, though, I think that bond, and it's almost an unshakable bond, I think that's probably going to pull him to Redfern is my tip. But at the same time, if you're doing a coaching apprenticeship and you want to become an NRL head coach, who better to do it under than Wayne Bennett?
Yeah, I just reckon he'll come down to Sydney. I'm seeing like Point Piper or Potts Point rather than up to Redcliffe. He'll have the boat moored. They'll roll out the red carpet at South, the same as they did when he came over to play for them.
It's just struck me how much you should be torn today, because you're a former Port Macquarie Shark who became a Bulldogs fan, and today the main headline act here is the Bulldogs v Sharks. How did you end up as a Doggies fan?
So my dad grew up in the Bankstown area and then moved up to Port Macquarie as a young man to work as an accountant and met my mum up there. She's born and bred up Port Macquarie way. Actually, shout out to my dad. He had his last day of work this week.
Did he?
Oh, wow. He's retired. Yeah, so he's been an accountant now. Must be the best part of 40 years. And he's hung up the green pen. And I said, you know what I said to him? Welcome to retirement. I've been retired for 4 years myself.
You're 20 years behind me. Yeah.
That's not how it's meant to work, Megan. Let's talk coaching jobs, because we've touched on this and we do this every single week, I think. And I don't know if we get closer to the answers, but let's start with the Bulldogs. As we mentioned, Mick Potter's not here today because of COVID protocols. What are you hearing long-term for the Doggies?
Nothing. Honestly, like it's so hard to get a read on this one. Everything that the Tigers do somehow leaks out of their boardroom and is plastered, you know, front page, back page. But with Bulldogs, it all begins and ends with Gus. Phil Gould will decide what happens. We've been getting mixed messages from him. Initially, he was saying that it's a job for an experienced coach, but my understanding is that they're also after Serraldo, and we know that Cameron Serraldo is not going to West Tigers. They rolled out the black, white and gold carpet. They offered him a 5-year deal. And I'm still getting my head around the fact that they're pitching to him rather than the other way around. This is a guy who obviously has come through a good system and is very capable. But, you know, we had very similar raps about Garth Brennan coming out of the Panthers, out of Trent Barrett, and we all know how that ended. So he's not going to West Tigers. They're back to square one. Potentially he could end up at the Bulldogs, but I think what will happen is that he'll probably recommit to Penrith for a year and potentially, have a get-out clause if something better comes up from an NRL perspective.
As a Doggies fan, who do you think's the right fit as coach for your club?
I thought Shane Flanagan was a moral to get it, but apparently that's not going to happen. So now I'm left wondering, who's left to coach the team. All the talk is that Gus wants to make a statement and come out with a big left of field name that is a big coup for the club. I don't know.
Well, there's three premiership coaches out of work at the moment. You've got Flanagan, Green, and Maguire. Do any of those appeal to you? That obviously they've all been in the system, and then, or do you take a punt on an unknown like a Christian Wolf, or then you've got that sort of in between like a John Morris who's had some NRL experience.
Yeah, I just don't think the Bulldogs are a club that you take a punt on. When we spoke about the Gold Coast Titans not getting too much media and us not talking about the coaching job, the Bulldogs are the exact opposite of that, right? You'd probably know, when you write about the Bulldogs, it's a back page or a front page. They're a club that gets a lot of attention, and they're a big Sydney club. So I think we've got to go experience.
Would you be sleeping well at night knowing that Mick Potter was at their helm?
For 12 more months, I wouldn't mind it. A couple of people during the week, we had Michelle Bishop on the show, and she said, they don't want Mick Potter because he can't attract players. I'm looking at the team now. The squad's starting to settle a bit. We've got Marnie coming next year. We've got Kikau coming next year. I don't think we need to attract too many players in the next 12 months. So if the season continues to pan out the way it has the past fortnight, I wouldn't mind Mick Potter hanging around for a year waiting for a better option to pop up.
But does it sort of feel like you're treading water for a year?
It does.
Like that's the other thing. And
it does. Well,
the only two positions you really need to fill are halfback and fullback. And I know Kyle Flanagan has done a reasonable job in recent years, in recent weeks, but you're not going to win a comp with him at halfback.
Yeah, potentially. It depends what Burton turns into, right? If all Burton needs is a foil to kind of to lead the team around rather than be the key playmaker, then maybe Flanagan can do that. Avarillo at fullback has been a bit of a revelation, hasn't he? I did not see that coming.
I think Charlie Staines is still potentially on the radar there as well. So
yeah. What about...
Although he's on good money at the moment.
We're talking about Tyrell Sloan.
Yeah.
That's gone a little quiet. He's not been cited in first grade.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity for either, the Tigers or the Bulldogs with both of those players.
Mm. On the text line, Bulldogs big name coach, Ricky Stewart. So that has been floated before and denied.
Yeah, we've spoken about that. Ricky
Adrian
said that he's happy there. And again, I just feel that we're ready for a boss move from Gus. I just don't think that he's come back to a point Mick Potter as a coach for next year. I think that they will do he'll do something bold and unexpected.
So still a couple of other jobs hanging out there, the West Tigers and the Warriors as well. We'll get your thoughts on that after this break. You're listening to Crunch Time. Thanks to 7-Eleven. Come back and join us at CommBank Stadium. Welcome back to CommBank Stadium. The Bulldogs against the Sharks this afternoon. You'll hear it right here on NRL Nation. Timmy Manor and Andrew McCulloch joining me for that call. A massive day of footy. The Bulldogs leading the Newtown Jets here 4-0 in the New South Wales Cup. So Matt Dufty scoring and the kick wasn't converted. So Bulldogs 4 leading the Jets 0. Just quickly before we head to the 1 o'clock news, fellas. So West Tigers, are we any closer there or is Noddy the man at the moment?
Well, he could be Steve Bradbury. it's scary. I mean, we've had Christian Wolf approached about the Warriors job saying he doesn't want to go there. We've had Cameron Serrato say he doesn't want a five-year, multi-million dollar deal.
Yeah.
They've given him the keys to the kingdom and he's returned them back to him. So it may well be Noddy Kamoli just because no one else wants to do it.
Yeah.
The great Bar Lamb I just saw on the big screen here. So there's probably about 20 people here at the moment, and he's an easy target for the camera people to focus in on.
I was going to wear my Terry Lamb shirt today, but I thought, maybe that's a bit too much. I'll just wear my Bulldog scarf. It's one of my favourite shirts, a Terry Lamb shirt.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's one of my favourite players. He was absolutely unbelievable. When it came to backing up, nobody did it better than T. Lamb. Now, what about the Warriors job then? So there's three positions vacant signs still swinging out there, and the wind in the NRL.
It's hard. They've basically gone through four coaches through COVID. So we started with Kearney, with Nathan Brown, with Payton, Stacey Jones, And only today, finally, are they at home for the first time. Sorry, tomorrow, which is incredible. They finally conquer COVID and then get two of their best players are forced to pull out with... who have we got?
Reece Walsh and Noah Blake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question for you two. I won't answer because I'm biased. If you're a young coach and you've got the three teams as your options, Warriors, West Tigers, Bulldogs, which one would you choose to go to?
Dogs?
Yeah, I was going to say Dogs, but it's going to depend on the person who's willing to work under Phil Gould, isn't it?
Yep.
So that's as simple as that for me. Out of the other two, I'd be leaning more towards the Tigers, even as dysfunctional as they are. I think it's a longer road back for the Warriors.
What about if I add a fourth team, just theoretically, and throw the Titans in there? Are they any more attractive?
Still Dogs.
Yeah. So,
when you do a pros and cons list, I think Phil Gould is in both of mine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's going to help you attract talent, sign players.
100%.
He's going to make sure that you have the best facilities. Everyone that you need in terms of your support staff will be there. But ultimately, you'll have to deal with him all too.
Is it accurate that the Tigers, or is this just talk, that the Tigers have a really promising bunch of 20-year-old kids coming through?
They do. They really do. They won the Harold Matthews competition, but now the challenge for them is keeping them. And at the moment, like if you're a young, talented kid, you don't know who the coach is going to be, like who you're going to be developing under at the moment. So they just need some clarity there and to keep all of those good young kids, because at the moment they're still paying overs for the likes of Tyron Peachy and others. They've made some terrible decisions.
You're listening to Crunch Time. We're live at CommBank Stadium. We'll run you through this afternoon's games. Focus on the Bulldogs and the Sharks. You can join us anytime, folks. 0457 736 736 is our text line, or the number to call, 1300 01 1170. We're back for a very big second hour right after this. Oh, yeah. Oh, Missile, see what you've started. Yeah, let's keep it going. You got to get to the real good part.
Yeah.
Top Gun. So he's all Tom Cruise loved up now, James Magnuson. Gone and seen Top Gun last night after not seeing the original one.
Mm.
Done your research.
Yeah.
And you've walked out of there just reaffirming that your nickname is Perfect Not when it goes to flying planes into war zones.
And I've turned up in studio today, fake tan with baby oil, ready for a game of volleyball.
Mate, you were meant to keep the flame alive with your girlfriend. That's what you told us. That's why you said you went to the movies last night. So we've got to put it on our list. So we're looking for our call sign names. Rooster Man came up with, what was it, Adsman for you, yep. Adrian Prasenko, and Motorhead for me.
What about this? A lot of our listeners have names that would work. So we've got Reptile, we've got Rooster Man already, we've got Greenkeeping Rooster. A bunch of our listeners already have pre-made call signs.
Do you want to be the wingman to a bloke called Reptile?
Well, see, I went straight because I am a bit of an aviation nerd, right? And I've spent a lot of time with the great Neil Crompton, who is a complete aviation nerd. He's got his own plane, he's a pilot, and we've flown around. So we talk to each other in the phonetic code.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a middle name, which is rather unfortunate, especially when he lives in that world, because he is November Charlie. And he's put an A on the back of it. So he's November Charlie Alpha.
Yeah.
And I my middle name is Daniel, so I'm Mike Delta Whiskey.
Okay.
What's your middle name?
Robert.
You're Juliet Romeo Mike. Juliet Romeo Mike.
Wow, that sounds like a Shakespeare play.
Adrian, you're
Alpha.
I don't
have a middle name. I'm
Alpha Papa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alpha Papa. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, okay. I like that one. Yeah. Can I ask you a question if you're into aviation? So the Top Gun's based around Navy aviators, so the Navy pilots, are they better than the Air Force pilots, or who are the best? I was confused by that because I'm like,
when I said I'm an aviation nerd, I just took free rides on planes. I don't hang around.
Yeah,
with...
okay. Can someone text us in if you know the answer to that? Who are the best pilots? Is it the Navy pilots or the Air Force pilots?
Do you think we'll get a Top Gun 3? Like, will we have to wait another, 30 or 40 years? And will Tom Cruise still be running around with his shirt off then?
If Tom Cruise looks that good in another 30 years, that'll dead set do me.
Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's thanks to 7-Eleven. You're listening across the SEN network, 1170 SEN in Sydney, 1620 SEN on the Gold Coast. And welcome to the listeners on 693 SENQ in Queensland. And that was the station where Wayne Bennett told Patton Heels that he was looking at Cameron Munster in 2023, and that's caused one hell of a Barney between the Melbourne Storm, or an ongoing Barney. We're waiting for Cameron Munster to have this press conference, which we're fascinated by. So Cam Munster is having a call to the presser at Amy Park today.
1 o'clock today, yes.
Okay.
And so this is in response to the ongoing solicitation from Wayne Bennett.
So we'll wait and see what happens in that one. And as soon as it does pop up somewhere, we'll try and bring it to you. As we look ahead to today's meeting, fellas, so Bulldogs v Sharks is what's coming up here at CommBank Stadium. The New South Wales Cup continues in front of us, and the Jets have hit the lead, Maggie. So Newtown are leading 6 points to 13 and a half minutes to go into the first half here. So this could be an interesting matchup this afternoon, the Bulldogs v Sharks. No Mick Potter. He's sitting out because of COVID protocols. We've touched on that one. We'll have a debutant for the Doggies by Declan Casey, the 22-year-old, probably starting on the wing. And fortunes have turned around for the Bulldogs. There's no question about that. The Sharks have been impressive this year and probably just in search of some consistency leading to the back end of the season. You reckon that's a fair take on what's ahead of us?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the Sharks were less than impressive last outing against the Titans. They only just got past the Titans. The week before that, they played the Warriors. So their form line, you can't read into it too much. They haven't played any informed teams over the past few rounds. So I think this will give us a good indication of where the Sharks are heading towards the finals now. But also, as a Bulldogs fan, I'm feeling very bullish about this one.
Yeah, it's interesting because you sort of are of the impression that we've seen the best of them, haven't you?
I am.
Like they, as we speak, they're in the top four and they're on track potentially for a home semi. But do you get the feeling that, you know, maybe their stocks are sell now? Their stocks are at their highest?
I think so. I think, look, Craig Fitzgibbon came in and had that initial impact as a head coach. But I think the length of the season is going to get the better of the Sharks. I think Nico Hines and Matt Moylan were super impressive in the opening 10 rounds. I think that partnership has started to drop off a bit as we've gone along. And they're also missing a few troops. Braden Hemlin, ULA, was huge for them in the opening rounds. I think they've really missed him up front. And so I think the Bulldogs are finishing with a wet sail, and the opposite can be said for Cronulla.
Rooster Muzz has got an answer to your best pilots. He says the best pilots are the ones that don't crash.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a fair point. From an old Berry, this one says, looking forward to seeing Declan Casey making his debut. Would be very interested to know the average age of our backline. Hope they can keep them all together long term. Well, the average age is around that 20-year-old mark. So Jake Avarillo is 21, Carraz is 20, Aaron Schopp's 21, Declan 22, Josh Adokar is the oldest in the back line at 26, and then Matty Burton's only 22 years of age, and Kyle Flanagan's just 23. So the average age, I'd be picking, 21, 22 there?
Well, yeah. That's a bit of a contrast with the Sharks side, and they're in a position now where they're going to have to make a call on some of their experienced players, like guys like Fifita, Tolman, Moylan, I think, will end up staying. Wade Graham, who's obviously coming back, you know, after long-term concussion issues as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of guys off contract that are playing for spots, and I think that they're still, you know, they're unresolved. They're still torn as to whether or not to offer new contracts to some of those guys. Mm.
Let's have a little look into the future, especially around Belmore and what's going to happen in the Dogs. So let's jump in the little spaceship, or the pilots, or the plane that you've been...
The DeLorean.
DeLorean.
And I want to take you, James Magnuson, to the year 2027.
Yeah.
What do your Doggies look like in 2027? Five years down the track.
I think Gus has built those pathways. Again, it's a strong rugby league nursery in the Bankstown area. So I think Gus will have built up the pathways similarly to what he's done at Penrith. Now, here's a stat for you. Every year ending in four, the Bulldogs make the grand final. I'm talking 84, 94, 2004, 2014. So we make a grand final in 2024.
Wow.
And we've won a grand final by the time 2027 comes around.
Wow.
Is Gus still there in 2027?
Oh, probably not, but I think he's built the pathways up. Yeah, I think his work is done, the same as it is at Penrith. I look at Penrith now, and they look like they're going to be a force for the next decade with the juniors they've got coming through. So I feel confident that Gus will do the job at the Bulldogs.
In 2027, are they still naming Jacob Kiraz on the wing?
Starting him in the centres. The answer's probably yes. In 2027, is Matt Burton still a Bulldog?
I think so. Look, people have come out and said, oh, Matt Burton hasn't taken up his player option. Is anybody surprised by that? I think he's on maybe $450,000 or $500,000 a year. Yep. Of course he's not taking up his player option. He'd be crazy to take up his player option. But has he said he wants to leave the Bulldogs? No, he hasn't. And the Bulldogs will dip in for Burton. He'll easily get $750,000, $800,000 on his next contract.
Is he your captain in 27?
I think he is. I think he is.
It just depends. I mean, he's a very quiet, sort of softly spoken guy. Like, he might grow into the role. You know, he's a long way from that now. But, you know, I just want to see him play with someone consistently, a halves partner that lets him do his thing so that he doesn't have to be an organiser. Yep. He can see, just play what's in front of him and use all those tools, whether it be the big boot or whatever else, without the burden of having to steer the club around.
Reid Marnie will be huge for him.
Yes.
Some quality service from dummy half will be massive for a guy like Burton.
How much higher will Matt Burton kick the ball in the year 2027?
Oh, did you see that one in Origin?
Oh, that was off that's, the charts.
That's just...
You would have seen a couple live the other week when you came and watched the Parramatta game, Adrian.
It's crazy.
Yeah, higher than the stadium, right?
It's unbelievable, yeah. It really is. And, like, it's... What about when it's sort of that twilight time when the lights are starting to take effect and it's getting darker? Like, what a nightmare. And especially in windy, greasy conditions.
You know what you'd be doing? I mean, I can't remember seeing the big fireworks spectacular. You know how often they had the fireworks spectacular in the first 2 minutes? You can hardly see anyone out there because of the smoke.
Yeah. Smog.
That's when you'd be kicking. That's when you're Mac Burton just going, I'm just going to launch one straight away off the very first possession.
Wasn't that just an extra weapon for New South Wales? Oh, a bit of pressure on Cleary. We'll just go to the left, and there's Burton there. Burton kicked that ball in Origin from the left side of the field on his between the 30 and 40 metre line. It landed on the right side of the field on the 10 metre line behind Murray Chualongi's head.
Yeah.
We just don't see that.
If you're Brad Fittler, you can't drop him. And that's it doesn't matter what Jack Wyden does or even Latrell. You can potentially find a spot for Latrell, but you can't drop Matt Burton.
It's an interesting selection headache to absolutely have. Now, it also begs the question of today. What happens today? At the moment, there's rain all around us, but it's not bucketing down here at CommBank Stadium, but it's more than likely going to because it's coming and going in waves. So where does that put you play-wise or game management strategy-wise, especially with somebody with a booming boot like Burton's got?
Oh, I think it definitely helps to have Burton on your side when the weather conditions are like this. The one thing that worries me, the big danger that the Bulldogs posed against Parramatta and then the West Tigers was offloads. Penguy Jr. did about 6 offloads, I think, against Parramatta that day. And that's what they were kind of building their attack off the back of. Offloads in this wet, greasy conditions are a very high-risk play.
Yep. It was interesting to the way Nico Hines approaches this, and I was speaking to him during the week, and he was saying that being in Blues camp for the last couple of Origins, he sort of gravitated a little bit towards Nathan Cleary, and he's just soaking up everything that he's doing. The fact that he's the first guy on the field, that he's practicing his goal kicking, and we've talked about that's an area that he has to improve because he was last year a 75% goal kicker, and that's down around 63, low 60s or thereabouts now. But just him seeing how those top flight players prepare, and it's something that he wants to bring into his own game as well.
So 2027, everything's looking rosy for you at Belmore.
Are we still going back to Belmore for the occasional game?
I think by 2027, we may have a facility that can host a number of games per season.
Right. Just don't put a roof on it, whatever you do, because Burton's balls...
How would he go? How would he go at Marvel Stadium? Yeah.
Wow.
Do you reckon he'd hit the ceiling? He probably would.
He'd have to get close. Yeah. It'd be like 60 metres or something up.
Yeah, it'd be something like that. There is one fault that I see in your plan.
Yeah.
Because on your statistic of every year ending in 4, you make the grand final.
Yeah.
So by the time we get to 2027, you say you've already been to the grand final and won it in 2024.
Yeah.
That means in 2027, you've got another 7 years before you get to the grand final.
What I want to know is how many changes of board will there be between now and then?
Yeah, so
I mean, that's you've got the biannual cycle at the ballot box.
By the time we get to 2027, you'll have one Jay Magnuson as chairman of the board.
The Bulldogs have gone in again here in the corner in the New South Wales Cup, so they currently lead 14 points to 12, kick to come. So I'll update you that when that comes along. And, of course, we'll try and tap into Cameron Munster whenever that press conference is getting underway. You can be part of the show anytime. Call 1300 01 1170. Text us on 0457 736 736. Our Twitter and Instagram handles at 1170 SEN and at SEN QLD. And the podcast, you can catch up NRL Crunch Time. Back after this. Brought to you by 7-Eleven, Matt White, James Magnuson, Adrian Prasenko with you here at CommBank Stadium. We're at 16 points to 12 in favour of the Bulldogs over the Jets, and the rain is starting to come down much harder. A quick sports update for you, fellas. Around the grounds we go. Australia in the Test match against Sri Lanka. Well, that was over in a flash. 10-wicket win inside 3 days there. And Travis Head, the unlikely star with the ball, he took 4 for 10. 4 for 10 wow. with the ball, as Nathan Lyon took 9 wickets for the match. But I've got a question for you about Wimbledon. So Nick Kyrgios is going to feature tonight. So normally at Wimbledon, you'd want to go to centre court, right? So here's your lineup at centre court tonight. It is Coco Gauff against Anisimova. That's first up. Then Paula Badosa against Petra Kvitova. And then it's Lorenzo Sonego against Rafael Nadal. Do you want a ticket to centre court, or do you want a ticket to court one, which is Alex de Minaur versus Luke Brody, who's a Great Britain player, so he'll have support. Iga Swiatek against Elise Cornet. Swiatek is on a run like never before. And then Nick Kyrgios against Stefanos Tsitsipas.
How is Iga not on centre court? As the world number one and having won Grand Slam titles, etc., why is she on an outside court?
Don't know.
Yeah.
But that's...
So I'm going to court with Kyrgios.
Yeah, I'm going there.
I love
as well.
The circus that is Nick Kyrgios. I'm all over it.
His box office.
We heard during the week there's been complaints from the locals in Wimbledon, the people that live there. Apparently during Wimbledon there's people doing drugs in the streets, drinking to all hours and having sex parties.
What?
All around Wimbledon.
Why? Because of Nick Kyrgios. I mean, he's been blamed for a lot of things.
Are they complaining that it'll be over once the tournament ends? Or what's the story?
Yeah, so it's apparently the locals are a little posh in Wimbledon. Wimbledon wow. Village yeah. is the suburb. And they reckon all these international fans come in and are partying and sex, drugs and rock and roll. So that's wow. that's what's happening Jeez. In Wimbledon right
Sounds
now.
Sounds like a boost to the economy.
Yeah. Finger on the pulse. I thought that stuff only happened in Parliament over there.
Westminster. Oh, that's the question. Which house is Boris Johnson at for the sex party?
We had a really interesting chat when we were doing brekkie last week about Nick Kyrgios and all that kind of stuff. And somebody, Adrian, said to on the text line, just don't take him seriously. And that's exactly what you said, Miss. I said, no, I don't. I don't take him seriously. Yep. But it's going to be serious tonight against Tsitsipas, who's the number 4 seed in this one. That place will be rocking. So, on the back of... I seriously thought you were going to blame all that on Nick Kyrgios then. And he's throwing bombs left, right and centre.
Yeah.
We didn't get to discuss this, but I was going to bring this up on the breakfast show. So, Nick Kyrgios doesn't like the establishment, but he's a headline act. He sells tickets. Could we see Nick Kyrgios in a Greg Norman / Saudi-backed tennis tour golf style?
Ooh, he'd almost have to be your first draft pick, wouldn't he?
There you go.
Yeah.
If there was a basketball equivalent, he would be the first draft pick.
He would be. Well, remember, Matty, you were saying he was unhappy about the 5 sets for the doubles. He's pulled out of the doubles.
Yeah. Has he pulled out?
He's pulled out of the doubles. But on game day, he told Tanasi, I'm out.
But I agree with that too. That is a lot of doubles. No one wants to see that. If it's the final over 5 sets, then so be it. But nobody wants to see.
I don't really want to see doubles at all, to be honest. No, but I think that's Kyrgios, right? Saying this could be my shot. The tournament has never been this wide open. You've basically got Nadal and Djokovic, and then
Medvedev isn't there. It's on grass. He's got a winning record over Tsitsipas.
He's a self-proclaimed best player in the world on grass.
On grass, ever.
Ever.
What happens?
So how has he avoided his old mate, what's his name?
Bernard Tomic.
But yeah, I thought he was the best player in the world. Wasn't he going to win 7 Wimbledons?
If they, you know how they wanted to play a match for $1 million, put up $1 million for the winner of Tomic versus Kyrgios.
Yeah.
If they live stream that, it'll be like the those sideshow boxing events, like two rugby league players boxing. Everyone would tune in to watch that. Yeah. I'd watch it. Even if they played on a backyard court in Vaucluse, I'm turning in to watch Kyrgios versus Tomic for $1 million.
Main event, would you pay $60 for that?
No, I wouldn't.
So was it a million bucks winner takes all?
Yeah.
Right.
$1 million on the line.
There would have to be a sponsor that can somehow commercialise that and
But I think they were going to put up the prize money themselves, winner takes all. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, here's the thing, because it won't make a difference to Nick Kyrgios. The bank balance just continues to tick over.
Yeah.
But Bernie would probably spend it by the time he got to the airport.
Oh, wouldn't he? I'd like to see this in more sports. I'd like people to call out someone else in their sport. I'd like to see, for instance, you know, let's go a decade ago now. In the media, I say, Michael Phelps, meet me in this backyard pool, $1 million on the line, winner takes all.
Yeah, and you,
how good would that be to see?
Wow. And when you're saying that to Michael Phelps, you say, you put up the
you
money.
Put up the million. He could put up, dead set, $10 million.
Is there somebody from the past world of racing or the current world of racing that you didn't get to swim against who you'd like to go one out against
Popov?
Over 100?
Alex Popov. So I got to race Cesar Cielo, Alain Bernard, Michael Phelps, Ian Thorpe, Michael Klim. Got to tick all those off the bucket list.
Yeah.
Didn't get Popov. Didn't get Van den Hoogenband.
Yep.
That'd be a good one. Either of those. And then from the, if you look back a bit, maybe like a Mark Spitz or a Biondi, someone like that. Yeah. Mm.
Tim the Toolman says, put me on the first plane to England. Those parties at Wimbledon sound great. it appears as though there's a lot more than strawberries and cream going on over there. Another one from Eels Muzz said, my wife just said that my Top Gun fighter pilot name should be Skidmark. I think that's a bit unfair, don't you? Yes. Thank you for that. Afternoon, gents. Navy and Air Force pilots are not allowed to choose a call sign. They're given an official call sign when they are assigned to their first squadron.
There you go.
So is that fictional? So all that stuff we saw in Top Gun, that's not how it happens?
Or maybe they got given those names. I don't remember the first time they called. He came in as Maverick.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah, so maybe you got... Yeah, I guess I'm not sure.
Air Force will say they're better. Navy will say they are better. Regards, the hot dog from Hurstville.
Okay.
What if they took your name off you? I mean, what if you walked in and said, "Hi, I'm Missile," and they go, no, you're...
Potato gun.
Skidmark.
You turn around and walk straight back out. And the Tour de France is on as well. So the very first stage was in Copenhagen, I think. So are you guys late nighters sit up and just watch the endless aerial shots from the helicopter?
I'm not a big Tour de France fan, but how much sport is on at the moment?
Oh,
I have not seen my family in like forever. There's Test cricket on, thank God that didn't go the 5 days. We've got Wimbledon. We've got Jayapataya in a world title fight tonight.
Yeah.
There's rugby league on, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week.
It's about the only time I see Wimbledon is if, the Tour de France is if I have a big night and I come home and flop on the couch and turn the TV and I'm like, oh, Wimbledon. Tour de France. I was over in France a number of times swimming and the tour went past towns we were in. It's pretty cool. Who's a big name in the tour at the moment?
I don't know.
Because the Australian won the Giro d'Italia.
Yes.
Now so he must be a chance of winning the Tour de France, surely.
Now I need to go and remember his name.
We'll find it. We'll find it in the break.
But that was a big
one. I'm assuming he must be a chance of winning the tour.
Yeah, and there's more on tonight too, because over at Optus Stadium is the Wallabies v. England.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Stick to the league and the cricket and the tennis.
Well, Adrian's going to be covering the Jayapataya fight tonight.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about this fight. He's fighting for a world title, which I feel like not enough people know about.
It's incredible. It's really flying under the radar, particularly given that, you know, Tim Zhu and George Kambosos have got so much publicity. So he's fighting for the IBF world title. Maris Bradis is the best cruiserweight in the world. He has lost only once. He's 37 years old. His only loss was to Alexander Usyk, who's the heavyweight champion. And that was a really close loss. One of the judges had it as a tie. The other two only just gave it to him. So he's 100% world class. He's Latvian. His profile doesn't match his accomplishments.
Yeah.
And it's going to be up on the Goldie tonight, which I'm really looking forward to, against a guy who's overcome incredible adversity to get to this point. Jai's had serious hand injuries. He also had a rib injury, which required surgery only a few weeks ago. So he's still got the surgery scars on him, which are going to be like massive targets for Bredis tonight.
If Opetaia wins this, where does that rank him in Australian boxing at the moment in comparison to, say, a Tim Zhu or a Kambosos? Is he right up there?
Well, if he wins this, he's a world champion, which Tim Zhu, for all of the publicity he's got, he hasn't won a world title. He's hoping to, and he's potentially on the cusp of doing that if he gets this shot at Jermell Charlo. And if he does that, I mean, that'll be huge because he'll have all four belts, which has only happened, nine times in the four-belt era. So that's huge. But you know, Jai Apatai can't do any more.
Just another thing for us to watch tonight.
How good.
Just another thing.
You've got to watch Top Gun as well tonight.
Jai Hindley was the Aussie rider who won the Giro d'Italia.
Yes.
Okay, make sure you stick around. We need to take a break here at CommBank Stadium. Stay with us on Crunch Time. I never thought, James Magnussen, that Tom Cruise would get you so pumped up. You have just come in absolutely flying, so to speak, and you were desperate to hear that.
Do we have to put our shirts back on after that? I can't leave it off.
One of the texters has just said to us that Jai Hindley won the Giro, but he's not starting in the Tour de France due to fears of burnout. So I did a bit of digging in the ad break there, and it's apparent that it is usual practice that not a lot of those that compete in the Italian then go on to do the French tour. In fact, none of the top 10 in this year's Giro d'Italia are on the starting line for the Tour de France.
Shows how much I know.
So we got to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have just assumed that he was there as well. So.
Yeah. Adrian's got news fresh off the press. He's got someone on the ground in Melbourne who's been at the Cameron Munster
press conference.
Yeah, buckle in.
Yep.
Cameron Munster has called a press conference to say that he will not be leaving the Storm until his contract expires.
What?
Hold the back page. So he's contracted until the end of 2023.
Which we knew.
We know that Wayne Bennett has been trying to get him up as soon as possible. The Storm are saying that we're not letting him go. He hasn't asked for a release. We will not be granting him one. We hope that he will stay, but he hasn't recommitted beyond 2023. So there you go. Six again, play on.
So the Melbourne Storm have called a press conference on a Saturday
Correct.
To put Cameron Munster out there to say absolutely nothing.
Yep, absolutely. And the irony was that he said, haven't you guys got better things to write about? After calling a press conference to discuss nothing. It's like a Seinfeld episode, isn't it?
That's so annoying.
Something's crook in Tullaroook to me. The Melbourne Storm don't make those kind of silly errors.
No, so what they're basically saying is that Wayne, cease and desist. Yeah. Stop trying to poach him. We're not going to release him. It doesn't matter what you offer him for next year. He's contracted to us and he will not be leaving early.
I still cannot understand why you'd put Cameron Munster up to the media to say that. They've already had their say to the NRL.
Yep.
They've had a fair old swipe.
Yep.
At Wayne Bennett.
And he was asked, they said, well, look, do you want to stay at the Storm beyond 2023? And he said, I haven't looked that far ahead. I've got to talk to my partner about that. I'll deal with it in due course, or words to that effect.
That's so annoying, isn't it? What a waste of everybody's time.
Because you initially predicted that, like, you wouldn't call a press conference unless he's extending or it was a big good news story.
Yeah.
But basically, they have... This is a press conference just to thwart Wayne Bennett, who is probably chuckling. His ribs would be tickled at the moment. He would find it so amusing.
I tell you what it is to me. It's very un-Melbourne-like. Very, very un-Storm-like to go down that avenue. If you're going to unleash one of your marquee players out to the media to say nothing, you look amateurish at best. If you want to get back at Wayne Bennett, you pick up the phone and tell Wayne Bennett to cease and desist.
No, the way you get back at Wayne Bennett is you re-sign Cameron Munster.
Yeah.
And then put him out for a press conference. That's how you upset Wayne.
That's a really strange one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it obviously shows, too, that he's getting under their skin. Because he's stolen half of their forward pack already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and there are other
right.
fringe players that, you know, he's probably having a look at as well. So they're just sick of players being poached.
Wow.
He's got three of their forwards, hasn't he?
Yep.
Both Bromwiches and Kafusi.
And Kafusi, yep.
Forgot about that. Wow, he's done a number of Melbourne. That would be getting under Bellamy's skin.
Yeah, it's hit a nerve. And obviously there's that relationship between Bellamy and Wayne from way
That's
back.
That's so when funny.
Bellamy basically did his apprenticeship under him. So
it's real, this is rugby league married at first sight again, isn't it?
it's only rugby league. Only rugby league could do that kind of thing. Rooster Man's back in your boys today, Missile. He says, I just launched on the doggies 1-12.
Yeah, smart man.
You've come in brimming with confidence in the New South Wales Cup being played right in front of us. The Bulldogs 16 lead the Jets 12. So 5 minutes into the half, the second half here. Bulldogs 16 leading the Jets 12. Matt Dufty has crossed for a couple of tries. So the Bulldogs v Sharks coming up. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. Andrew McCulloch will be joining me for the call with Timmy Manor as well. We've touched on that 13th versus 4th. What about later on this afternoon, the Cowboys v Broncos? So 3rd versus 5th. Who would have thought if we go back, say, 12 months that we'd be talking about these two teams at an absolute peak form going head-to-head here? Normally we'd be saying there's a bit of a struggle on here, but both the Cowboys and the Broncos firing.
How good is it too? Because around the time that they made the grand final, this was one of the most anticipated clashes on the calendar.
Yep.
And it's been a bit of a dud in the last couple of seasons. And all of a sudden, they're both up there and abouts. And, you know, at least two Queensland teams are doing well. We're going to have a third, and unfortunately, we've got the Titans as well.
Our Queensland listeners will be pumped for this one. We've got the SENQ just joined us up there in Queensland. This is going to be a huge match. I don't mind Brisbane as the outsiders in this game. Adam Reynolds comes back. We've got the battle of the halfbacks, the two probably biggest signings of the year, and Adam Reynolds and Chad Townsend. If you had to put your money on the line, Adrian, who would you be going in this one?
I've tipped the Cowboys, but I can definitely see how there's an upset. And what I'm really looking forward to seeing is Ezra Mam. He's going to be an absolute superstar. Mm. And for him to be lining up with an experienced guy in Adam Reynolds, who's been out for a while, but he's a 10-year NRL player. Like, watch him go.
Luciano Leilua named in jumper number 15. So he's officially joined the Cowboys now, and he'll come off the bench for his 100th NRL start. So Cowboys v Broncos. So, sorry, you're going Cowboys, Adrian?
Yes.
And you are going...
I'm going to go Broncos.
Broncos.
There you go, upset.
I'm going to stick with the Cowboys up there at Townsville. I like their style of play, and the home ground is obviously to their advantage there. So later on tonight, we've got the Bunnies and the Eels. So the return of Latrell Mitchell for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah. Adrian's a Para fan, if you didn't know, Matt.
I know.
So he's hot on the Para team. But I would hate to put in that first kick if I'm Parramatta. Mitch Moses puts the first kick in. It goes long. Goes to Latrell. You're chasing down and you see Latrell with fire in his eyes. He's on audition for State of Origin. That first player is getting bumped every day of the week.
I find it interesting that they've named him at fullback as well, given the how long he's been out. And I assume that he'll run out there, but I would have thought that maybe play him at centres for the first game.
Oh, yeah,
back.
Okay.
Let him get his match fitness up. And I'm sure Freddie would have preferred that too, to actually see him play at centre rather than at fullback. But let's see how long he'll last. Like, you know, he was over just a few weeks ago. He's in the US with Bill Knowles, the reconditioning guru over there, and then COVID, and he got quite knocked around by that. So he's only played, I think, about three times in like 8 months. Like,
yeah, so four games or so since August last year, which is extraordinary. What do you reckon he has to do? What does he do to make it a compelling argument that Freddie has to pick him? Has to put him in the squad if he's not already going to do it.
Well, I think firstly, if he can pump out 80 minutes at fullback, that in itself will be, you know, an incredible show of fitness. And he's just got to get involved. He doesn't have to overplay his hand. But I think the narrative for South is we're going to get Latrell back and everything's going to be okay. And I just think that's a lot of pressure on a guy who hasn't played a lot of football, and it's going to take him 3 or 4 weeks to get back to full match fitness.
I've ummed and ahed on whether Latrell should be coming back into this Origin team. You don't want to change what you know has already worked. And then there's Jack Whiten, who was so good in game one, and Matt Burton's found his feet straight away. But I just think from the Queensland side of things, and perhaps I'll ask this to Macca when he comes in, Andrew McCullough, if you're putting Latrell Mitchell on your team sheet, that has a big, big statement. And that's the kind of thing that the Queenslanders won't want to see.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a huge Latrell fan, but if I'm looking at it through Queensland eyes, which is hard to do, but anyway, Latrell Mitchell would terrify me. If you're lining up at centre and you look up across from you and you've got 110-kilo Latrell Mitchell coming at you all night, that would be absolutely terrifying.
I think the biggest beneficiary from all of this will be Cody Walker. They're great mates. Cody's had his angry pants on lately. He's been frustrated. In the last time they played, they hooked Lachlan Ilias.
Yeah.
I think Latrell will just... That combination will strike back up again, and he'll be a better player as a result.
I'm assuming Ilias is back in today at halfback?
Yes.
Strange, isn't it, to drop him and then just put him straight back in the starting side? What lesson do you learn from that?
I think the coach was trying to... It was a really tough night out for him. He dropped the kickoff. They were getting smashed. I think the coach wanted to spare him. But in hooking him, I think you actually humiliate him even more and bring more attention to him. And he almost looks like he's the problem when they were all having a terrible night.
Yeah.
And there's been a try in the corner here to Tyler Tamo for the Newtown Jets, and it's broken the 16-all deadlock. So New South Wales Cup, the Jets lead 20 points to 16. It's raining heavily at Combank, and the conversion will be attempted from the sideline. We'll let you know how that goes on the other side of this break.
Well, good to be back again. Unfortunately, didn't land any winners in the Origin game too this time. But how'd you go, Seth?
Well, I went over to Perth. I was lucky enough to be able to go over and call the game for SDN. It was a great stadium. And I've got to say, it was a really enjoyable game as well. If you're a New South Wales fan, to be able to score that many points as Origin in Origin is really enjoyable to watch. And I thought it was going all right. You know, I've got Burton anytime try scorer, bang. Then we get Munster anytime try scorer, bang. I just need Queensland to win, and unfortunately, that didn't happen. I wish I would have been able to get some odds for Ashley Klein to be the best player on the field. Those odds weren't available.
We'll have to get you a special rocket bet, because one of the ambassadors, Jake Carden, he had a $6.75 same game multi for the match. Got copied 685 times, so we had to pay out a little bit there. And the biggest same game multi was $81 with five legs, which is just huge. So some great stuff happening on Dabble Stats. We'll get to the crunch time team, and I don't reckon you're going to be happy with this one, because they've gone all favourites. Cronulla Sharks win by over 6.5 points. North Queensland Cowboys and the Parramatta Eels as well. What do you think about that multi?
Now, I think this weekend, when it comes to the tips, I think you've got to play the safe bet this weekend. I think the toughest one, the one to stay away from is the Warriors and the Tigers game. First game back in New Zealand, very emotional time for the Warriors. There are a couple of key players out. And can they handle the occasion is my biggest concern for the Warriors. So I think that's a game worth staying away from, to be quite honest. But I've actually followed a little bit of crunch times, the same form of multi, but I've added actually another sport as well, which Dabble is giving really good odds for as well. So I've gone Cronulla to win their game. I've gone Parramatta to beat the Bunnies by more than 6.5. And I've gone to the World Cruiserweight Championship tonight between Jai Opataia and Maris Bredas from Latvia. He's the current world champion, three-time world champion. And I've taken the underdog, the Australian Jai Opataia.
And you love your boxing, don't you, Seth? Which is just like, I think you're always chucking in one leg in there at least. And that's one of the good things about Dabble is obviously you know your boxing. So if you want to get involved, you can just follow Stats 13. He's always got someone up there as well. Also got a rocket bet for you as well from your man, Trevor Gilmeister. He's going to Cowboys Broncos game. Holmes and Cobbo to combine for two tries. I like these odds. $3.75.
Yeah. Well, known try scorers as well. And they'd want to be in really good form leading into selection, which is Monday for Origin. Both these players will be in Origin, but you want to go on with some, you know, some confident plays behind your belt as well. So I don't mind that from Big Barney, Gilly.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, as you said, like Melbourne has to, there've been people coming in and out of the side. Obviously, getting Pappenhausen back is huge. Parramatta, I don't know. It's an interesting side. I still just feel like they need a little bit more, don't they?
Yeah, well, they've got to win it this year. They're losing too many good players, so they have to win it this year. And they seem like a lot more mature side. So you know, I'm not counting them out at all, Josh.
Yeah, well, of course, you can check future odds for who's going to win it all on the Dabble app. All you have to do, download it. Follow the Crunch Time NRL team. They've been so close in so many multis. Follow Stats 13. Check out all the banter that's going on in the channels. And, of course, go on, have a dabble, dabble socially and gamble responsibly. Until next time, Stats.
See you, Josh.
Enjoying Crunch Time banter? Check out Dabble banter channels and copy Crunch Time bets. Go on, have a dabble. Gamble responsibly. Call 1800 858 858.
And almost time for us to wrap it up. It's been a Top Gun themed show today. The missile came in all hot and sweaty after watching Tom Cruise last night. Tim Manor and Andrew McCulloch are going to join me as we build up to the call between the Bulldogs and the Sharks. The Jets have gone in again here, so it'll be 24 points to 16 in the knock-on effect cup. Later this afternoon, Queensland Cup on 11.70 in SENQ, Pride v Bears, Drury Forbes and Scotty Sattler there. And Crunch Time is now on Sundays as well. So Julian King, Steve O'Keefe and Barney. Barney and the Professor fame will be in the house for Crunch Time tomorrow. So, fellas, have yourself a good evening. You're going to stick around and watch the footy missile.
I'm sticking around.
Adrian, you're going to work to cover the fight.
Yep, absolutely. And hopefully we can pay off the Kenny Loggins royalties that we've clocked up over the last 2 hours.
Danger zone. So on behalf of Juliet, Romeo, Mike and Alpha Papa over there, who doesn't have a middle name, but it worked anyway, this is Mike Delta Whiskey signing off. You boys are going to Top Gun.